Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment. Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. Today is question answer day with Pastor Carolyn Porter. Welcome, Pastor.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for your welcome.
Okay. I have some questions for you again this week. The questions come in. I just compile them and try to wait till the last Tuesday of every month to have Q&A day. So I have about seven good ones. And so if you're ready, let's do it and get some questions answered. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
So here is a really good question. I thought it was kind of befitting because a lot of students are packing up and getting ready to move on to college. So here's my question. My teenage daughter is saved and not sexually active. She is leaving for college in a month. Do I put her on birth control before she leaves, or am I sending a message that she is expected to send?
Very good question, Miss Amber. Now, you'd like for me to start with the first question. The first thing is, do I put her on birth control pill? All right.
Yes, that's the first question.
I think a very key word, very key point that's initially stated is that my teenage daughter is saved. And the second valuable point is not sexually active. Those are two facts, two good facts that the parent has express.
Okay.
And so if we start out with the fact she is saved, I think that the parent could balance, I think the parent could just be stable just right there and emphasize prayerfully and emphasize sincerely the word of the Lord to a young lady who is obviously saved and open to the word and the will and the plan of God. Amen. Having said that, I think if the young lady is saved, you're saying that the young lady is saved, I think if the parent beforehand and even leading up to the time that the daughter leaves, and you know what, and this can apply to a son as well.
Mm-hmm.
You might need, I think the parent needs to really capitalize on your body is the temple of the living God. And that it is morally, but it is a sin. Sexual immorality is not acceptable to God. Yes. It is a sin that can be and that is forgiven. Probably if we had a penny for everyone who has committed that sin, we'd be wealthy.
Extremely.
Extremely wealthy. So it is a sin that God forgives. And you can put that in place as you're telling the youngsters or the teenagers about this. I think it just builds on the foundation. You are a saved young lady, a saved young man, and your body is the temple of the living God, of the Holy Spirit. And capitalize on them not only being saved and being clean, sanctified, and set apart, but capital capitalize on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, whose task, whose job is to keep us, I don't think you need to put them on birth control pills. But, again, I must emphasize that we are people, the Lord gave us our own wills.
Right.
And if the young lady or the young man wants to become sexually active, I don't care if the parent goes and buys one of those chastity belts made of steel and wraps it around their ears. This is something they want to do. Saved, unsaved, adult and child, they will partake. So I think if you can just emphasize, you know, that your body belongs to the Lord, and then take them to the scriptures. And it says in, I'll refer very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it says that the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord for the body. Listen to this. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, talking about Jesus, and he will raise also. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple, are members of Christ himself? So I don't think that the parent, now again, if the youngster is weak, a parent knows their child. They are not given to really be strong in the Lord. What's the expression? Better safe than sorry.
Sorry.
But I just don't want a youngster or a parent to get the opinion or come have the mindset that that God is not able to keep the children, your child, from falling into any sin, whether it's sexually, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever, the power of God can keep. Did I answer that sufficiently?
I think you answered it. I was kind of waiting. I was just like, well, I was going to ask you, well, what if the child is, you know, they're saying that in front of mom, but once they're out of the eyesight, but like you said, every mother knows their child, and so.
That's right. You know they're lenient and they're witness. They may be professing to be saved. They may be saved from, as I say, from the wind and the rain when they're indoors. Once they go outside, that's it. Do what they want to do. And let me add this, they will repent.
Okay. It has no sense to do that.
Okay.
Good answer. All right, so this one is a light question, not as deep. Can you give me some positive affirmations I should speak every day over me and my children's lives?
Quite frankly, I think there is no better affirmation than that which is found in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay? And again, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, where it talks about blessings and curses. It is just, that's just ideal. Mm-hmm. And it really stresses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 the blessings of obedience, starting from the first one. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commands, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations, and all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Then it goes on to say that you will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. So your confession, your affirmation becomes, I am blessed.
Mm-hmm.
in the city. I'm blessed in the country. You follow me? And it goes on to say that the fruit of your womb will be blessed. This is for mommy. The fruit of my womb, my sons and my daughters, and my children's children and their children. See, you let that be your confession. Are blessed. And it goes on to speak about the crops of your land if you're in this in the country, and the young of your livestock if you have livestock. It goes on to say your basket is going to be full, and you just take these things that is promised to you and use them, declare them, and speak them, speak healing, speak wisdom over your children, speak mm-hmm. good health over your children, good grades, and just pick up anything in the Psalms or anything in Proverbs and anything that Jesus said. You can tell them my affirmation is you are not alone. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Speak that to your children because the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow.
Follow it right on down the line. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so those who have asked these questions, just text me back and let me know or email me back at oneteachablemoment@gmail.com to let me know that these are the answers that you're looking for. And if she hasn't quite answered it or if you have further questions based off what she says. But I think that was very well answered. And so I'm going to try to hurry and get to these questions. This is kind of a fun question, funny question, a little funny. Not funny, I guess it's serious to the person, but it says, I want to tarry for the Holy Ghost. But I don't want to look like some of the people. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong because I don't want to look like some of the people. Oh, my goodness. It certainly is understandable. Let me just say this. The Lord gave us all our distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. And because we're born again and the Spirit filled, it does not mean that our personalities change. Now, things that we do and say may and should improve.
Mm-hmm.
And some things just actually fall away from us.
Right.
But when tarrying, old school would have us down and we'd be saying, oh, I know the game. I know how it goes. And many times we've been taught that we can't get up until the Holy Ghost falls on us. We got to roll on the floor and all these things. Well, listen, as we come into the knowledge of the truth, mm-hmm. then we walk in the truth. One thing for certain, Jesus didn't tell his disciples and the 120 that went to the upper room. He didn't go there and tell them to fall on their knees and roll and pitch and spit and scream. He told them to go tarry, go wait in the upper room until the Holy Ghost came, till they be with power. And so I offer to anyone that's seeking to offer praises, certainly accept the Lord as your personal Savior, clean up your life as much as you can, lay aside every weight and every sin. In other words, the holiness church would say sanctify yourself, get yourself clean, lay aside and stop saying and doing things that you know is not godly. And when you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit and you want to tarry, you can sit or you can kneel. You can get in his presence and just begin to praise him and begin to love him and ask him to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I promise you, he will come. You don't have to think. Now, after he gets on you now, you may throw your hand up. You may throw your head back. You may holler and act like the rest of everybody. But before time, you just prepare yourself to be a vessel that's clean and used and then filled by the Holy Spirit. I hope I've answered that question sufficiently.
Okay. All right, here's one. Another lighthearted one. Or maybe I should go on to something a little bit heavier than that. Let's see.
Amber, before you go or while you're going, let me just add this. I started out by saying that each personality is different and your personality mm-hmm. does not change. Okay. So there are those that will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just cry and weep and wail. There are those that will, you know, make other move, maybe a big, when the Holy Spirit comes, they will be quickened or they may speak in other tongues. But whatever is your personality, if you're not a person that just that's loud, you may be very soft. And somebody is loud will be louder. So I'm just saying your personality does not change once the Holy Spirit comes within. He will abide with you and teach you and guide you in the way that you should go. Okay, going to the next question.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I just wanted to ask you, but there are, but if the Holy Spirit takes over, you might not have control of any of that.
That's true, but just know this. When the Holy Spirit is in control, you still have a measure. You still have some control. I mean, you may be swinging your arms and waving your hands, but if you hit somebody, you know you did.
Okay.
You bang your hand up against the wall, you know you did.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, and the Bible says a man that cannot control himself is worse than a city without walls, because anything can come in on them. So I'm saying you're in control. You know when you're down on your knees and you're crying or you're weeping, no matter how difficult your problem that you're presenting to the Lord may be, you know when your knees hurt.
Okay.
You know when you want to get up. And you can get up and sit on the chair on the side of the bed or on the sofa, whatever, and still keep right on praying. You follow what I'm saying? You don't lose all sense.
Okay. All right. All righty. Here's one. I've recently become very concerned about my family members and their salvation. I just got myself right. How do I witness to them without sounding like a religious fanatic or making them feel like I'm better because I no longer do what they do?
First of all, you really do not want to become critical. And you don't want to, as they said, you don't want to show or act as though you're better than they are. The easiest thing, the best thing to do is just show them love, the love of Jesus, and give them, share your testimony with them of what has happened in your life. Secondly, you can ask them, do you have a request that I can pray with you about? Is it something you would like prayer for? I'd be glad to pray with you. And they may say, no. Or they may say, well, you know, I just want the Lord to bless me. And you can pick up the little sayings from there. But can you just share with me how you want the Lord to bless you? What type of blessing you need? You know, so that you can kind of start a little conversation. Always be pleasant. Always be smart. You can't be mean and nasty and hateful and evil and contrary. Can't. Not when you're, and particularly with your family, because you know your family quick to say, "Look, I know you. I was here before you were. I'm older than you." So you have to present salvation and Jesus in the light of love. He says, the word says, it is with loving kindness that I've drawn them to thee. And that's how you have to straw, your family, your friends, your neighbor.
All right. Good answer. All right, here we go. My parents do not like my fiancé. I believe he is the man that God has for me. I have prayed about it, but I still can't get my family to like him. What should I do to get my parents to come around?
I would say right off the bat that you don't want to show yourself, again, disobedient or evil or contrary. And you don't want to pit your friend or your friend against your parents or whatever. The best thing to do is chat with your mom or chat with your dad or chat with them both together. And then ask them if they would like to meet him or if they'd like to get to know him better.
Hmm.
And if they approve or they consent, bring him around. And then at the close of your gathering or your meeting, you can encourage him as well as ask your parents, would they pray with both of you? Don't force the issue. You don't have to tap dance and be the dead horse. If they don't like him, them, show them, ask him to share some of his final qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And if they flat out refuse, sometimes the best thing is just to accept it. And maybe you might need to take a step back and try to see him or see what it is they're looking at that has them in a negative position when it comes to him. And, of course, again, I reiterate, pray about it. Pray with your parents. Pray with him. That the Lord will give you wisdom, both of you, the parents, him, and even yourself in that matter. Because it may be the best thing to run. Run. Run, Forrest, run.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to whip the parents think is best.
I think that's important, that one part that you said, that you should take a step back and try to see what your parents or whomever that's telling you not, what they're seeing through their eyes. So most people are not willing to do that. They rather try to bring the family around. But that's good advice, to take a step back.
That's right.
And try to see what they're seeing. See if there's any validity to it.
Because sometimes they're, particularly if they're born again and spirit-filled, family members, one, and secondly, sometimes if Papa's been out there in the world himself, I'm talking about your dad now, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily saved, maybe he is, but if he's been around the block, as the expression goes, he may be picking up and seeing and sensing something that you innocently, naively,
mm-hmm.
are not aware of.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Or even if he hasn't been out in the world, I think men know men, and I guess it would be fair to say women know other women.
Exactly. And you know what you're picking up, you know what you're sensing. Case in point, my dad, bless his heart, going on to be with the Lord, but a bunch of years ago, a young man came into our church, you know, he wooed and wooed and wooed one of our young ladies, and he promised to marry her and this and that, and the other, they went and got the marriage. Ordered the marriage license, and she had her bridal gown, and he came by that morning and said, I'm going to go down and pick up my tuxedo, and I'm going to pick up the marriage license. I came back early. And she went and put on the gown. I mean, the reception, everything was in place. The family and friends gathered. But all along, from the door, my father said, you don't need him.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's
mm-hmm.
not the one. Mm-mm-mm. I wouldn't advise you to consider marrying him at this time. Everybody was just smitten with him. Oh, he was so charming and gracious and directed the choir. He wrote music and he sang. Can I please tell you that afternoon? Excuse me. That afternoon, he invitation. I mean, no marriage license, no him, and no tuxedo. He picked up the tuxedo. We don't know about the marriage license. Never saw him again.
Wow.
The guests gathered for the marriage ceremony. The food, the tables were spread beautifully. She wept and she cried sore. And Bishop Scott wasn't the bishop then, he was Elder Scott. He just looked and said, "But I tried to tell." So, again, sometimes men just pick up on something, the same as women do sometimes. And, all right, moving right along.
Okay. So we have two more questions, but I think the other one of them is a little heavier. So we only have about 2 minutes left, so I'll just ask you this one because it's not as deep as the other one might be. I'll save it for next month. She asked, or whomever asked, we are still wearing robes and marching down the center aisle for church services. I feel it's so antiquated. How do I approach my pastor to move beyond that and start something fresh and different?
Sometimes things are set in traditions, and it is a tradition. I think it's a beautiful tradition myself. But I would advise the young lady or whomever to do this. Ask the pastor. If you know in your heart of heart he is not going to say yes, canceling the choir coming down in robes to center aisle on a Sunday morning, consider this. Ask the pastor, get the consent for the music department, the music ministry to have a concert, a joy night, a program, or whatever. And instead of wearing your robes, he minds if you will follow a color scheme. Maybe everyone will wear white that day. A color that's not offendable.
Right.
Or maybe everyone would wear, you know, black and white, or everybody would wear, a color theme, whatever
right.
the theme of the church, right? And see if he would agree to that. And if it goes over well, everybody's tight and tidy, looking good, sounding good, and even when they march in and now just take their places and everybody is pristine in their presentation, you say, again, Pastor, would it be all right if the second Sunday when we sing, not the first Sunday, we know that's communion or whatever, something special, would it be all right when we sing on the second Sunday or when we sing on the fourth Sunday? If we can come in with this attire, is it acceptable? You might win them over real quick with that approach.
Well, thank you for your answers, and thank you for your honesty and your wisdom. And we will see you next month. I think we are scheduled for Q&A on the 29th of August. So send in your questions, oneteachablemoment, that's the number oneteachablemoment@gmail.com, and I'll try to get them on. Send your comments if she needs to further answer any questions you may have. Thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Next week we have Margaret DeSanto. And she's going to be talking about a very sensitive topic. Station, thank you all. Have a good night. Thank you, Pastor Porter. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
Bye-bye.